Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and friends. This show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now. Market Views with Ike Iosa and friends is being brought to you by GM Capital Group.
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm Ike Iosa, your host for Market Views. This guest, my very good friend, Mr. Glenn Neely. For those of you who have been listening to me for the last 8 years, you know I have been interviewing Glenn for the last 8 years. I have known Glenn for the last 25 years, but I have followed Glenn since the early 80s. One of the things that have totally struck me over the years is that not only he has made some dramatic calls, but those calls have also come true. We are planning an interview that will be retrospective of Glenn's 25-year career in this business. And the interview will take place sometime within the next 30 days. For today, we're going to give you a little taste of it, going back to the last year with regards to the S&P. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Hi, Ike. I'm doing fine. I appreciate you doing this unique interview with me over the next month or so.
I will send you a bill promptly.
Well, you know, I've been waiting to do something like this for a really long time. As most of your listeners probably know, you know, I've been working on and perfecting a sort of advanced form of Elliott Wave analysis over the last 25 years. Most of that work was done in the first 15 years or so, and I released my book in 1990 called Mastering Elliott Wave, which reveals most of the things that I've discovered over this time frame. I did come up with some new pattern discoveries in the 90s and a few new behavior discoveries, but the vast majority of what I discovered was put in my original book. And so I've waited a really long time to be able to prove that NeoWave is a more accurate and advanced, reliable form of wave analysis than an orthodox approach. Because in my opinion, Elliott Wave in its original form leaves a lot of flexibility to the practitioner, and that flexibility is too broad, and it allows for mistakes to be made. And so the whole goal here is to try to show a long-term perspective on how well NeoWave has worked for the last year or so, and then hopefully going back 25 years on the next interview that we do.
One of the most complaints that I get from people with regards to Elliott Wave is that they get confused because you can get five Elliotticians and get five different views.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I've learned from teaching people over the last 25 years, at least maybe the last 20 years, that by having a much more rigid and complex
discipline.
Set of rules, you know,
yeah.
I've made Elliott Wave more complicated, there's no doubt about that, but by having a more rigid set of rules and more comprehensive set of rules, that you can actually have two people, such as myself and somebody that I've taught in the past, call me up 5 or 10 years later, and they'll have the same wave count that I have. And that's pretty unique in the Elliott Wave field. And one thing that dramatically differentiates my approach from the average Elliott Wave analyst is that your listeners, people who have been following me for many, many years, should see that I very rarely change my wave counts. And when I have my talks with you, I almost always only have one scenario. I don't have 2 or 3 or 5 or 10. I don't have alternate counts where one's bullish and one's bearish. It's always pretty much just one scenario, one forecast, and that's it.
If anybody asks me to name the most impressive call in all of my years in this business, would be the call that you made in July of 2001 when you said that in September the S&P will have a spectacular plunge due to a catastrophic event.
Yeah, no, I just want to make it clear, I had no idea that September 11th was going to happen. I just knew something really bad was around the corner, only because wave theory told me that. I wasn't predicting it. Wave theory told me something, a really big market decline was coming, and I knew if a decline of that magnitude was going to happen, that something bad had to be associated with it.
Okay, well, let's get started.
Okay, well, I thought we would start back in about mid-2004. This just gives a broad perspective on what I was saying when you and I think it did an interview with Jim Poplava. This chart number one, this says forecast 2000 to 2020. It was mapping out what I expected the S&P to do at that time. At the time, I assumed we were in the middle of a B-wave rally, and this is of a correction that started at the high in 2000. and that the S&P would go sideways to up until we made an all-time new high. I thought the high would be a little bit higher than we achieved, but it did make an all-time new high, and that concluded Wave B in late 2007, early 2008. So it achieved that forecast, and then since then we've been going down, you know, quite dramatically over the last year. So that picks up the big picture perspective, which then moves into my January 8th emergency report, which is the next chart titled number one, January 8th. In there I talk about how I was getting concerned about the stock market and that there were conditions that were starting to not look so bullish anymore. I specifically say that conditions would no longer be bullish but could turn bearish upon certain events happening. And so I was beginning to warn my customers that things were beginning to change in the stock market, and your customers, of course, can read through that particular emergency update. That was followed by one just 10 days later. This is January 18th now. This is, you know, when everybody thought things were great, the economy's great, stock market's doing well, things are going to the moon, nothing holding us back, and I proclaim on January 18th that the bull market's over. That was the first time that I had said that since the highs in 2000. So I waited 8 years to be able to say that again. And, of course, as you know, the market's been going down and sideways quite dramatically since then. So, again, your customers can read through that that was a public announcement. So everybody who's on my database got that, as opposed to the other two that were more sort of inside my subscriber base. Then we move on to January 21st. You can see a whole series of events here where I'm warning about a top, you know, preparing for a top, warning about a top, saying that the bull market, the bear market has started, and then I give a very specific long-term forecast just about 3 or 4 days after the other announcement, because the market had dropped enough where I could see that the B wave was over, which you now can see on this chart. If you go back to the first chart we talked about, there was this big B wave that I expected to make an all-time new high, and you can see the all-time high the S&P made just last December, I think. So it made that all-time new high. Then shortly after that in January, the B wave came to an end, which we'd been working on since 2003. Now the bear market has started according to wave theory, and this, of course, you know, is applying all these advanced and complicated neo-wave concepts, but indicated that the bear market has started, and that we're now going to be in at least a four-year bear market. So you can see how I mapped out the specific duration of the bear market, indicated two scenarios. The green scenario was the more comfortable scenario, you might say, like the calm bear market, which would retrace about 50%, whereas the red scenario is the scarier scenario, which I've been warning for a while, is the one I think we're actually going to have, which would include a break of the 2002 low. Early in 2003, when I turned bullish, I indicated that I didn't think that low would ever be broken again, probably for the rest of my life. But early on in January of this year, I started to worry that based on wave structure, it was possible. And the reason it became possible is because the B wave barely made an all-time new high, just by a few ticks. If it had gone up to 1,700 or higher, which was possible, way before the pattern finished, then we wouldn't have broken the low in 2002. But because it mimicked the exact high, it opens up the possibility that the C wave of this pattern will be the longest wave of the correction, and that means we could break the 2002 low. And I mean, can you imagine the panic that could ensue in a situation like that?
Well, yes.
So that's my current primary scenario, even though it's in red, it's, you know, the more scary scenario. It's the most likely at this time, but I can't prove either one of these, you know, which one is the more likely for sure, but I think the red one is currently in effect, so we'll have to see how that goes. So this was in early or mid-January when I released this, and I pretty much mapped out the entire bear market for the next 4 years. So let's move on to the next chart, which is a weekly chart sent out the same day. This shows you where the S&P was when I did the update, and then what I expected to happen, which was a drop down to around 1,200 and a huge bounce back up to maybe not quite 1,400, and then another huge sell-off down to maybe 1,100 in the S&P. You'll notice on the chart indicate the bear market begins here, and so that's me mapping out what I expect to happen on a weekly chart. If you move on to chart number, that's called 4 March 17th. That was a public warning. These are the things I do occasionally just as a public service, you know, because I worry about not just my customers, but just the public in general, and warning them about the stock market and that things are not going so well, and that things could get a lot worse over the next few months. This isn't my most dire warning, so, you know, they can read that particular warning. Let's move on to the next chart. Okay, I think there may be a little, these charts may be slightly out of sequence here. Moving on to chart number 4, weekly, February 6th. It shows what happened to the S&P after I released the forecast in January. You can see the market bottomed a little bit higher than 1,200, but by then I had adjusted the expectations for the market. So the low is only predicted to be around 1,250. It bottomed a little bit higher than that, and then we started the big bounce. If you move on to the next chart, which is 5 weekly April, it shows how the market went through the bounce that was expected. It went through a long, drawn-out sideways correction. There was 2 points that could have been the end of wave B. I eventually assumed or decided that it was the second one of the two. But under either scenario, I expected the market to start a pretty dramatic sell-off down to about 1150, and this was April of this year. Let's move on to, I think we just finished with chart number 5, so this will be chart 6, June 6. This was the most sensational notification. This was a public notification that I've ever sent out probably in my whole career. I specifically say that that I've never seen anything, that I've never been so worried about the U.S. Or the United States in my 25-year career, and that I indicated that the market was getting ready for phase 2 of the bear market, that it'd be like nothing we have ever experienced in 75 years, and that the odds would be high that we go through a severe deflationary recession that would unfold very swiftly. So this, again, is in June when the market's near its peaks, and I'm telling people that things are getting ready to get really bad really fast, indicating just 6 to 12 months that all these bad things could start to happen. I even say financially and economically speaking, there'll be few places to hide. So for those of, you know, of your listeners who have been in real estate and in stocks and gold and everything else, everything's declining. There's really nowhere to hide. And I indicate that cash would be probably the best place to have your money, and in nothing else, that I expected the dollar to start increasing in value while everything else in the U.S. started to decline in value in relationship to the dollar. Okay, so let's move on to the number 6 weekly June 4th chart. This shows an updated process of the red dashed line that I typically have on my charts. You can see that the market continued to peak slightly above the original peak where I expected the market to top, and then this was in around June 4th. I expected the market to go through a dramatic sell-off down to about 1150 over just a few months. You'll notice the timing for the low is around July or so, I guess that would be. I don't remember exactly when we bottomed, but I think it was around there. Let's see. Let's move on to chart number 8. This is the monthly chart, and it's updating the price action since the high. And you can see based on the green dash scenario, the market's bottom time-wise about where I thought, but a little bit higher. So then the bounce was, as a result, also higher. But the timing of the peak is about right, and then the market started to head down again. And you can see the green dashed line shows the bottom around 1050. We just recently bottomed just above 1100. So far, so good with the monthly scenario. Then it moves on to a, let's move on to the weekly chart. This would be week 9, weekly July 2nd. This shows the progress from June to July on the weekly time frame. It's the same exact chart, but with the updated price action showing the same red dashed line. And you can see how well the market's been following that decline. And as you know, again, recently we bottomed around 11.15, I think it was, in the cash market. Moving on to another public notice that I sent out. This was one warning about coming deflation. This is August 8th, and it's number 9. I, for the first time, got really concerned about a deflationary scenario. I'd warned about it in the past, but I really made a profound, I guess you could say, public notification of this, that despite what everyone believes, despite the fact that gold's been going up for 10 years, that we'd been in a inflationary environment for those 10 years, that wave structure indicated, for the gold market at least, that it's going to be declining for the next 4 to 6 years. We can go over this, you know, some future date, but Because of that, I assumed, you know, how could gold drop $500 in the next 4 to 6 years if we weren't going to have deflation, or if the value of the dollar wasn't going to increase a lot? So I wasn't expecting the deflation because it felt right from things that I read. I was expecting it because wave structure implied gold was going to drop so much that it was the only logical conclusion. So if they want to read that notice, they can go through that. Probably the most interesting recent update was the one which is titled 10 Weekly September 3rd. This shows an update of the S&P, and if you went back to some of those that are dated back in January and February, you can see the entire sequence unfold as I predicted early on in January, with the decline in the S&P down to 1250, the big bounce up to about 1400, the next huge decline, which didn't quite make it to 1150, and then the bounce after that. And that's where this chart picks up. It's showing that I expected the market to go through this sort of zigzaggy kind of rally for the D wave of this triangle pattern. And then from there, finishing sometime in September, from there starting a big decline down to about 1100. You can see on the chart, you can approximate where that is. And that's, of course, the decline that we've recently just happened. I think there's one or two more here that, again, the sequence isn't right here, but in June of this year, I just released a notification again to the public, just telling them that all the things that I've been warning about, that the world's about to change, which I released, I can't remember the date, but what I mentioned earlier, I was just signifying, actually it was June 6th, so I released this June 6th update that the world was about to change. You know, the world as we know it is about to change. And then to go through all the things that have happened since June all the way through September, which obviously things have changed quite a bit. So that gives us sort of chronology of how things have unfolded and how well the NeoWave structures have worked out, you know, consistently staying with one scenario for virtually the entire year. And so far, so good.
Glenn, anything else you want to add?
We can talk about what I think is going to happen next. The current situation, short term, does not look good. I think the S&P is setting up for what should be the final plunge of this bear market that began in January of this year. So I'm looking for a move in the S&P from current levels. I think we're in the 1150, 1160 range right now.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for the S&P from current levels to begin sometime in the next week or two to begin its fastest and largest vertical decline that we've seen probably since 2001. Okay, so based on the weekly S&P chart, the most recent one, which I actually updated today and sent out to customers, it shows the final phase of this E-wave triangle. It's technically an expanding triangle, even though the channels are contracting and it looks like a contracting triangle. The reason it's an expanding triangle is because each decline is bigger than the previous. So wave C on the chart is bigger than wave A, and I suspect that wave E will be bigger than wave C based on all current evidence. So if that's the case, it technically is an expanding triangle, but the channels on the chart that you'll see when you look at them will be contracting, so don't let that confuse you. But the E-wave should go through its final, scariest vertical collapse sometime in the next week or two, probably breaking 1,000 in the futures for sure. The cash, maybe, maybe not. I wouldn't even be surprised if the futures got down to 975 or 960 or some really hyper cataclysmic, super scary event. And then from there, current wave structure indicates, right as everyone's, you know, worried about the future of the U.S. and getting ready to bail everybody out and passing all these laws, that'll be the low for probably the next 3 to 6 months. And the evidence is the S&P will probably bounce about 300 points over 3 to 6 months. And everyone will have a sigh of relief thinking, oh, thank God it's all over with. But I need to remind your listeners to go back to my most recent monthly S&P chart, was released, I think, in July. That implies that this is just the first phase of an ongoing bear market, and whether red scenario or green scenario on the monthly charts is correct, we still have a lot more to go. So don't think it's over. Don't think that the government can bail us out of this by just passing laws. Laws don't change the rules of economics. So we're going to be in big trouble over the next 1 to 2 years.
Anything else you would like to add?
Anything positive, maybe? that's about it.
Ben, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.